May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Now you know where that comes from, the last psalm. Now you're going to hear a name in the prayers of the people in the hospital. I want you to know she's okay. She's going to be fine. Rachel Black was in an auto accident. Please gasp. Okay, good. Get that out of the way. So she broke her left arm. She's at ORMC. She's not going to have surgery today, but maybe tomorrow. Went over there last night in the ER, and she was in the hall on the gurney. Robin, her daughter, was there. Had the neck brace, the whole bit. She opens her eyes. Oh, Father Don. And then she gave me the latest rundown on her back and forth with Medicare and her dietary business she's starting to start. So I figured it's okay. She's going to be fine. Just saying. So when you hear her name, don't panic. Big idea today is even spirit-filled Christians are still challenged by sin. This kind of goes along with my three C's of preaching. Preaching should challenge, convict, and every now and then comfort. We'll get all three today, I hope. It was a tough call today, actually. Jesus is clearing the temple, Moses with the Ten Commandments, and Paul describes the human condition. And I decided to go with Paul. So the big idea, again, is even spirit-filled Christians are still challenged by sin. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that we have a new nature. This is true. In 5:17 it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I'm not who I used to be. I'm different now. I'm a spirit-filled follower of Jesus Christ. I have given my life to him. I have repented of my sins and received that grace and salvation that he has offered through his death on the cross. But I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I still mess up, do things I shouldn't do. Ask my wife. We're still in the world, and this body no longer has a sin nature, but we're still in enemy territory. It's a dangerous place. I've told you the story of the missionary comes back, and there's a big snake in his tent, takes out his gun, puts a bullet in the snake, and the bullet... He doesn't kill the snake immediately, but the snake is now going through its death throes in the tent, destroying everything in sight. The battle is over. The war is won. The snake is going to die, but in the meantime, he's very dangerous, and you want to stay clear of that, right? In Christ, we are free from the penalty of sin, which is judgment, the power of sin, which is hopelessness, but while in the flesh, we're not free from the presence of sin, which is temptation, and the possibility of sin, which is failure. Some people fall into temptation, but a great many make plans for disaster ahead of time. Son ordered a father, don't swim in the canal. Okay, Dad, he answered. But he came home carrying a wet bathing suit that evening. Where have you been? Demanded the father. Swimming in the canal, answered the boy. Didn't I tell you not to swim there, asked the father. Yes, sir, answered the boy. Well, when, why did you, he asked. Well, Dad, he explained, I had my bathing suit with me, and I couldn't resist the temptation. Why did you take your bathing suit with you? So I'd be prepared to swim in case I was tempted. How true is that? If we're under grace, we take sin seriously. It's not my master, but a strong adversary. 1 Peter 5 says this, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering is required of your brotherhood throughout the world. Then I said to myself as I was going through this text, how do I resist? And God gave me four words. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus paid the price for my sin that I couldn't pay. The blood of Jesus saved me. The blood of Jesus did away with the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. The blood of Jesus restores me and reconciles me with the Father through his blood on this cross and the power of the Holy Spirit. The blood of Jesus. It's powerful. I'm just saying, when that temptation comes or you're starting to go, the blood of Jesus, say it, the blood of Jesus. Two struggles as a believer. One, it's a struggle to live up to what you ought to be. I don't understand what I do, but I do it anyway. Children, why did you fill in the blank? Why did you hit your sister? I don't know. Why'd you let the dog out? I don't know. Why'd you leave the garage? No, I don't know. You know, it's one of those things. What was I thinking? I'll never do that again. Or, maybe not. It's like I've said before with a hot stove. The parent says, don't touch the stove. It's hot. You'll get burned. And one child says, yep, okay, I won't touch the stove. You said it's hot. I'll get burned. I don't want to do that. Good. Another kid says, yeah, right. Jeez, that's hot. Not doing that again. And then the third one says, yeah, right. Whoa. Maybe it won't be. And just keeps doing it over and over and over again. Never gets the message, stop. This is not good for you. The results are predictable. Even as a follower of Jesus, I'm not as good as I think I am, and probably worse than I'd like to admit. This is the struggle to live up to what I know I ought to be. And that we had a baptism last week. Where's Emma? Huh? Up there. Oh, downstairs. I'm sorry. Downstairs. All right. The hugger. So we went through this last week. Part of what we said was, these are called the three renunciations. We're a very sophisticated 21st century group of very educated Americans, but we still believe in spiritual warfare. There are the good guys and the bad guys. This is real. We say, do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces that of wickedness that rebel against God? We're in a war. There's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. They're real, they're there, and they're after God's people all the time. I renounce them. Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? We all know people that have gone wrong and gone down that path to a very bad end, one way or another. The enemy's gotten a hold of them and marched them off the cliff. I renounce them. Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? There will be times in your life when things come your way and you're going to want to walk away and outside of the will of God. Do I renounce those? And when I experience them, do I say no, get convicted, and come back to where God wants me to be? And I say, I renounce them. And then this one. Will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. Not if you sin, but when you sin, will you repent and return to the Lord? Or will you give up and say, oh, I'm no good. God could never love me. I've done it too many times. I just can't. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God's love is stronger than your sin. Always. Don't believe anything else. The second thing is a struggle to come to grips with repeated personal failures. Just because I'm a Christian does not make me immune to temptation and in my life, sin in my life. There's a thing called transformation. The three stages, again, of salvation. Justification, I've recognized my condition as a sinner, apart from God. I've understood that Christ paid that price for my sin on the cross, a price I couldn't pay. I've repented of my sins. I've turned around and I've come back to God. I've received it. That doesn't change. I'm His. Then there's that second stage of salvation, which is sanctification. If you have given your life to Christ, we're all in the sanctification stage right now, phase of life, no matter how old you are, young, old, doesn't matter. Becoming who Christ has called me to be. And that's a struggle. That's sometimes an uphill fight. You know, we walk forward and then we kind of go this way or we go that way or we walk backwards sometimes. but we're trying to walk forward with him. But we don't get it right all the time. That's the whole idea of being convicted and coming back home. And then the third stage is glorification. You don't have to worry about this anymore. You're going to be with him. You close your eyes here, you open your eyes there. It's good. You don't have to worry about this anymore. But we're not there yet. We're still in this world. I need to admit my weakness and my need for the Holy Spirit in my life. So the question is, what grips our lives? Worry, gossip, unforgiveness, critical spirit, doubt, discouragement, anger, lust, bitterness, resentment, envy, fear. Any of those things hit home? In a world so uncertain, these are all present and active. Every one of those things, maybe you know, we're not all susceptible to all of those things, but some of them, and the enemy knows where you're susceptible. The enemy knows where you're vulnerable and weak, and that's where he goes after you. He doesn't go after you if you're not, you don't care. It's not a problem for you. But if it is, that's where he's going. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Paul says nothing good lives in him, but he's battling in his own strength. When he says that, he's really trying to figure it out and do it himself. It doesn't work. So I ask myself, where am I battling in my own strength? With my children? Finances? Marriage? Work? State of Christianity in the West? What's happening in the national scene? When I battle in my own strength, I will fail. When I battle in his strength, I win. So where do I fail? I fail if people come to see me on a Sunday morning and they leave farther away from God than I've failed. I've told you this story before, but it seems appropriate. That story of this 40 years ago, right? I was XO, second in command of a destroyer in the Persian Gulf. It's the same deployment that I told you about last week where Kathy gave me the bag of Christian tracks and tapes, and the lieutenant came aboard, and he had the underground church in Saudi Arabia, and he was amazed, and we cried together, and I can still see him. I see him, and I love that. But there was another experience on that cruise, on that deployment, and there was the weapons systems officer was a guy named Chuck Claren. And nobody liked him. Nobody liked him. The officers didn't like him. His men didn't like him. He just wasn't very likable. And here I am. I'm a new Christian. And I'm at my desk one night, really, really late, and there's a knock at my door, and I say, come in, and he comes in, and he kind of gets down on his haunches by my desk. And he says, I don't get you. I said, what? He says, you're not like any other XO I've ever known. Huh? You don't swear, you don't yell, you don't get angry, you don't get upset. I don't get it. What's with you? What's different? And I knew what was different, but I didn't know how to tell him. And I thought, maybe I'll make a mistake. I said, well, let's talk about it another time, but not right now. It's real late. So he left, and the next day he was in a shipboard accident, got medevaced to the States, and 3 months later he committed suicide. The same way I can see the lieutenant with a smile on his face and tears in his eyes with that bag of Christian material, I could see Chuck sitting right there. And all I had to tell him was my story. I didn't have to have gone to seminary. I didn't need a collar. I didn't need a theological education. I just needed my story. That's all you need. You need your story. That's all I had to tell him, and I didn't. But I also believe that when you commit suicide, you're never in your right mind and God takes you home. That's what I believe. Paul cries out for a rescuer. He says, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Jesus Christ and him crucified. I have the Holy Spirit. I have a new nature and I'm not alone. So in light of this verse, three things will help us. Number one is honesty. Wretched man that I am. We need to be honest about ourselves. Some of us hear the truth intellectually, but we still battle in our own strength. Well, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. It'll be different for me. Gary Richmond, a former zookeeper, had this to say. Raccoons go through a glandular change in about 24 months. After that, they often attack their owners. Since a 30-pound raccoon can be equal to a 100-pound dog in a scrap, I felt compelled to mention the change coming to a pet raccoon owned by a young friend of mine, Julie. She listened patiently as I explained the coming danger. I'll never forget her answer. It will be different for me. And she smiled as she added, Bandit wouldn't hurt me. He just wouldn't. 3 months later, Julie underwent plastic surgery for facial lacerations sustained when her adult raccoon attacked her for no apparent reason. Bandit was released into the wild. Sin, too, often comes dressed in an adorable guise, and we play with it. How easy it is to say, it will be different for me. The results are predictable. The second thing is humility. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Honesty says, I'm a wretched man, and humility says, I cannot save myself. So three things you can do with your sin. One, you can deny it. It's no big deal. I'm not as bad as other people. I'm okay, you're okay. Just get on with life. The second thing is try to deal with it on your own, in your own strength. Use your willpower. How far does that get you? Maybe once, but it doesn't sustain that path. And the third thing is admit the problem and turn to Christ and find strength and forgiveness, the blood of Jesus. And the third thing is complete dependence on Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, says Paul. We need to go through Romans 7. We struggle with sin because that experience is meant to draw us into the arms of Christ. And that's the only safe harbor that we have, the arms of Jesus. So our struggle does not make us failures. It makes us excellent candidates for the grace of God. I remember talking to a woman one time about, and was a neighbor, and I said, you ever go to church? She says, no. I said, why not? She says, you don't know what I've done. I said, well, I don't know what you've done, but God knows what you've done, and he'd like you to be there. And she started to go, and it was good. Sometimes people have this thing, God could never love me. God could never forgive me. God died for you. He died for you. He died for the thief on the cross who was not baptized, did not go to confirmation, and was not part of a youth group. He got crucified because he deserved it. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, this day you will be with me in paradise because he put his faith in Christ. Not because he was a good guy, because he put his faith in Jesus. Romans 7 leads to Romans 8. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Romans 8:1. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And this is a good place to be. And despite of our failures, he loves us anyway. God's love is greater than your sin. Amen.